Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
All right, what's going on out there in the world? Oh, yeah.
Talking sports with the 12th man is officially kicking off on this Tuesday, February the 16th. Hope you guys took care of your better half. So I know we just got finished with Valentine's Day. So a lot of love coming through you today, man. So that's what we like to do, man. So, again, we got an amazing cast of characters, as we always like to talk about. Rob is kind of rubbing it in because and Lou is on the air as well. It's interesting because when Rob is talking about it's like 70-something degrees where he's at, we're all like freezing our asses off. But that's okay. That's okay, Rob. It's all good, man.
Where
Rob,
are you?
We're gonna show. He's in Florida, so it's all good.
God is on outside right now. I hope he's on outside in the summer during hurricane season.
Right. As always. Oh man, we got some fun. Hey, let's introduce the cast of characters. As always, first and foremost, kicking it off, JQ, bro. How you feeling, man?
Oh man, I'm good. Like you said, I got my Scully on. I figured I'd go ahead and just leave that on because it's crucially cold outside, but I'm good, man. I can't complain. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I feel you, man. Whenever I'm trying to walk the pup, I'm like, bro, you better do your business fast. Come right back in. She got like first. She's trying to like take her time, man. So let's get in and out, as always. The aforementioned Rob Ford in the hottest place in the world. How you doing, bro?
Man, doing fantastic. You know, our prayers go out to most of the country. On a serious note, our prayers go out to most of the country that's dealing with, you know, the cold weather. We got a lot of places in Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee that's without power. So, our prayers and thoughts go out to them and hopefully get some power restored and get some heat in those homes as quickly as possible. And a happy Mardi Gras. It is Mardi Gras Day. It's not the usual Mardi Gras Day, obviously, with COVID going on and things of that nature. But, you know, to our listeners down in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, happy Mardi Gras. And, hey, let's end it safely.
Don't be like the mayor of Colorado either. Hey, what's up, Gary? How you doing, bro?
Idiot.
Hey, you got to be able to lead with empathy. That's horrible.
Absolutely true. Gary, what's up?
Doing well. You know, I had to dig my way out of my driveway. I sent some pics your way. We had 17 inches of snow, which was just really unheard of. In this day and time in Portland. But it hit us hard. It was beautiful. But then after the snow came some ice, and it was a rough one. It was a rough one. But
be careful out there.
Yeah, well, it's melting now, but we got piles of snow everywhere.
Is Curtis in the middle of that as well or no?
Well, I couldn't get caregivers up here for 5 days, and I had power go out for almost 24 hours myself. And so for me, it was a rough, rough time. But one of our friends and somebody you guys have heard from on our air before, Bruce Steele, he came through me. He had a vehicle that could handle this snowy weather, and he came up two nights to medicate me and make sure I was fed. And that was ideal, and that was great of him. And I want to thank him very much.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Bruce lives out by me. He lives way. Curtis lives way on the other side of town in the West Hills. So it's quite a trek to not only have to navigate across town, but across those icy and snowy bridges. We even had a gentleman that was driving home that went over the bridge and into the Columbia River, and they haven't found him yet. His family's it's horrible.
Wow. Wow.
Well, prayers are with, like you said, Rob said earlier, too, so everyone says.
You guys be safe out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lou's up north. Where are you at, Lou? Are you in New York?
Close enough, New Jersey.
How are you doing up there?
Well, today wasn't so bad, but Thursday it's going to be, well, I'll use this lightly, hell.
Well, like you said, man, Jersey's actually nicer than I expected, but, you know, make sure a lot of prayers for you guys, too. So let's get this party started, gentlemen. We got a lot of things to dive into. I know we're going to be, like, NBA heavy, if you will, but we do got to talk about some mock drafts. Rob, shout out to you as well for posting both the mock draft for the NBA and the NFL. I think this is mock draft 7.2 or something like that, Rob, as always. So we appreciate you always doing that. But we'll talk about that.
There's a new one every week.
We're talking to a lot of stuff. I know, which is great, man. So it gives us some fodder to talk about as well. Really quickly, the numbers calling the show. We do it every single week. It's the 424-243-9519. Shout out to my brother-in-law, Mike. One day he's going to call in. He's on the West Coast as well. You know, want to talk about what's happening with the 49ers, if you will, at some point. So we'll give him a shout out whenever he calls in. And then always follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, go to Facebook.com. As I mentioned, we posted those mock drafts, Rob did, if you will. Facebook.com/talkingsports with the 12th man. Or if you put in 12th man sports, you will find us as well. So, JQ, let's talk about this right at the gate about LA. And some top athletes are playing on a lot of the Los Angeles area teams. So I'll let you kick off the show with that, and then we'll kind of feed off of you, sir. So go ahead.
Yeah, I try not, you know, to get too down in the woods of and stay with some of, you know, the top-level stars. But, yeah, LA's got a lot happening right now. You know, if you stay with the Lakers, you got LeBron and AD, of course, headlining the Lakers, right, trying to get back to repeat. Don't know if that's going to happen with Anthony Davis and Achilles. We'll get to that in a little bit. If you turn to the Dodgers, you know, Mookie Betts, you know, been the MVP twice. In the American League, and then he saved the Dodgers bacon in that run for the World Series this year.
Yep.
Duke can also bowl a 300 game. Like, he's got a 300 bowling game on his record. He's just an all-around athlete.
Yeah.
You got to give him some love. And then that rotation, they get the Cy Young and Trevor Bauer from Cincinnati. Walker Buehler is a good young ace. Clayton Kershaw, that rotation for the Dodgers is going to be tough to beat. Then you move a little bit to the football. You know, I got to give Justin Herbert some love. Had a really good rookie year there for the Chargers. And, you know, they lost, I think, like five or six one-possession games. That record could have been flip-flopped, you know, and Anthony Lynn probably still had his job.
Right.
So, you know, you got to give him a lot of love. And then to round it out, Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey for the Rams. Aaron Donald's just a beast on the defensive line. And it's only a few wide receivers that can't even really get open against Jalen Ramsey. So I just wanted to kind of, you know, highlight them, you know, what they've been doing and been having and not get too crazy into the weeds so we can all pushes around
from
the show.
There it is, Rob.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to start with LeBron James first, right? As the mega superstar in Los Angeles right now, four-time NBA champion, arguably the best athlete in all of sports right now, and then probably the second-best NBA player of all time as we speak right now as well. So you got to start with LeBron, number one. And you got to go with Kawhi Leonard, number two right now. I mean, I know there's some great baseball players in Los Angeles and great football players in Los Angeles.
No Paul George.
But you got Kawhi Leonard, took Toronto to a championship, took the Spurs to a championship, two times finals MVP. And so you got to go with Kawhi Leonard, too. And as JQ mentioned, Aaron Donald, they probably the best defensive player in football right now. You got to talk about Aaron Donald when you talk about Los Angeles sports right now. You know, baseball, you know, you mentioned Mookie Betts, you got Cody Bellinger, you got Mike Trout, Mike Trout, the three-time MVP. Cody Bellinger won MVP in 2019. He's a world champion as well. He's got Clayton Kershaw. And then, of course, Anthony Davis, you know, to round out the, you know, the, in my opinion, the top stars in Los Angeles team sports right there. But, yeah, when you look at championships right now, you got to look at Los Angeles and Tampa, unfortunately. You got the Dodgers and the Lakers. And then when you look at Tampa, you got the Bucks and the Lightning. And then the Rays went to the World Series and lost, too. And those are the two cities right now that's dominating sports right now.
I can't believe I forgot about Mike Trout, I'm an idiot. Definitely
Mike Trout. That three-time MVP.
Yeah. I know. Just ignorant.
No, it's LeBron. He's the man. He's the best athlete. I agree with that. I'll go to Paul George. I would say Kawhi is too, but to me, he's a way distant too, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because I just think that the killer instinct that LeBron has, sometimes I don't see that with Kawhi. He's just too kind of. He's not up or he's down. I mean, you know, he doesn't seem to have that real fire in his belly like LeBron does. LeBron will lift up a team like the Cavs when he was there in Miami and in the L.A., you know, and no matter how good the people are around him, he's been the best player on their team. And Kawhi has also been that guy, but he's just – I like the guy that's got the fire in his belly. That's what I like about LeBron over Kawhi. And I think it's just a huge difference. The other guys, I wouldn't put Anthony Davis that high up on my list. I mean, I would respect him a lot more since he dumped the Pelican Queens. You know, I think that was a super move. You know, there, I can see that happening down the road with Zion. I think he'll get tired of losing and disappointing after disappointing year. And he'll probably end up doing the same thing.
Los Angeles.
Go ahead, Curtis. What do you got?
Where are you going with this?
Everything you guys said was true, and everything you guys said was right on. But I want to mention that California is a heavy Hispanic state, and LA is a heavy Hispanic city, and they got.
Mm-hmm.
I know they got two popular MLS teams, which are heavy-duty tickets to get.
Galaxy and the Football Club.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think they got a team that plays in Mexico.
Las Ultiman, coming back, man. Raiders.
Yeah.
But
Jesus,
so,
man.
You can't even pass that up. If you want to get a ticket in Los Angeles, one of the hottest ones to get is that soccer ticket.
Yes.
That is true. Okay.
Well, she got so I am more of a fan of the Galaxy than the LAFC.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's a good call, too. Yeah, like I said, right. So, you know, and it's, we talked about good job literally hitting athletes across all the sports. I hope that the Major League Baseball does kind of bring back the universal DH, man. I know your thoughts about that too. Hopefully that'll
not
be interesting. I know we talk about that. So, you know, I know. There's some thoughts about that, and definitely talks about strategy. But that was good to see that as well too. But you know, we'll see how it plays out. Hey, let's talk about some starting five for the East and West NBA. I know I'm gonna let Rob talk about that really quickly, and then we may talk about some options for. Some what's going to happen with the Lakers. I know we keep talking about the Lakers here, then eventually we'll talk about Zion, if you will. And Gary, I'd love to hear about the Pelican, so we'll get to that too. So go ahead, Rob.
Oh, yeah. Wait.
Well, when you look at the West right now, obviously I got LeBron and Kawhi, and my starting five is traditional lineups, two forward centers and two guards. So, obviously, the forward position for the West was easy for me with LeBron and Kawhi Leonard at the forward presenter. The center position is a little tricky when you got Jokic from Denver. You got Rudy Gobert. But Utah Jazz got the best record in the NBA right now, 22-5 or 23-5 or something like that. And Rudy Gobert is probably the best defensive big man in the league right now, making a difference. So I got to go with Gobert. I mean, Jokic had about 40-something points tonight in the loss against the Celtics. Saw a good bit of that game last night. But he still can't guard a statue, right? And so I'm going to go with Gobert at the center position. And then the guards. The guards were really tough. Donovan Mitchell was easy. Once again, he's on the best team in the Western Conference. But the other guard position was tough when you had to choose between Damian Lillard, you had to choose between Steph Curry, you had to choose between Chris Paul and Devin Booker. I went with Damian Lillard as the other guard
the
Western Conference lineup.
Yeah.
But, you know, Steph Curry, Chris Paul, and Devin Booker were really close in that conversation in the Western Conference. So I'm going to be objective here. I know Gary's a hater, but I'm going to give you some objective. And even though I'm rooting against the Blazers probably for the rest of my life, Damian Lillard is on one of my fantasy teams, so I still got to root for him a little bit, but I hope that they lose, all right? But I will give him credit where credit is due, and I got him in my starting lineup. But now we move over to the East. At the forward position, I got Giannis, and I got Kevin Durant at the forward position. At center is easy in the Eastern Conference, Joel Embiid all day long. The best center in the Eastern Conference easily. And then at guard, I got Ben Simmons and James Harden at the guard position for the Eastern Conference. So those are my starting lineups if I had to vote right now for the All-Star starting lineups.
Yeah. So, yeah, you gave a lot of love to the Jazz, and I get it. But, you know, when it comes down to crunch time, I don't think anybody's going to pick the Jazz to beat the Clippers or the Lakers until we see it happen again to go to get a chip. So, you know, starting off with is really hard because they really could go to a three-guard rotation. So, to me, I'm looking at LeBron, of course. I would like to not put Leonard on the team. It's got no disrespect to Leonard, but he's also missed some games here. I would love to be able to go Steph, Dane, and Luka. I'm not sure, but for me, I had to go LeBron. I went with the Joker because he's just, to me, is the best center. Offensively, yes. Gobert can guard better than he can, but he can't put the ball in the bucket like Joker can and the assist total. So I'm going to go with Joker as the center and LeBron and Kawhi as the forwards. In the backcourt, I love Donovan Mitchell. He's going to make the team. I love Luka. He's going to make the team. But if you got to go with Steph and Dame. I mean, what they do in terms of just getting red hot and putting the team on their back and then you turn it back on, they score 8 points in 7 seconds or something stupid like Dame did. I couldn't leave him off the team. He's just as a beast. So, yeah, I got to give him some love, and I didn't do that on purpose. But I went with Steph and Dame in the backcourt. But that guard position in the West is tough sledding, man.
Very
it's tough sledding.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then moving over
to not put Luka in the lineup, but the numbers he is putting up is unreal.
Yeah,
I mean it's like your flavor,
like 10th, 11th in the Western Conference.
Yeah,
right. But I mean, yeah, true. But Steph never out of it, but Steph gets hot on you. He just gets stupid hot. So I move over to the East. Got to be Kevin Durant. Got to go with Giannis. Got to go with Embiid. I mean, I think that's the easiest front court to even talk about. Yeah. The backcourt I had a little trouble with because the Wizards suck. But what Bradley Beal has been doing, it's not his fault that the Wizards suck. They just are terrible. You know, like players 3 to 12 is terrible, but he's really good. So I went with Beal with one of them. And Kyrie's been in and out, and Kyrie's just a head case. But what James Harden is doing with the assists every game and coming in and falling back and saying, okay, I'll take 12 shots, I'll get 15 assists. I would love to see him just be able to go get rewarded for the title on him so big for coming in out of shape and being fat. To go and accept that role and not complain and put up those kind of systems. I would like to see him rewarded for that. So if we're going to vilify him, let's also reward him. So I put Harden in my other guard spot. So I had KD, 3-3, B, Bill, and Harden.
Well, you know what? I thought that you were spot on with your picks. JQ as usual, the way you went with the center position, you know, and the way you put in what's that kid's name from Dallas? Luka, he's phenomenal. He is flat out phenomenal. I would go with the three guard set myself, same guys, yeah. And I would switch out Colbert, and it's because, you know, he's a phenomenal defensive center, but he is an offensive liability, and that's why I would go with the Joker. And again, the East the same way. I would pick the exact same Eastern lineup that you pick, including Harden. I thought I was going to be the only one that was going to pick Harden, but I see great minds do think alike. And that's just a little hint on my 2.0 mock series that I'm doing tonight.
Go ahead, Curtis.
I'm with you guys. I'm taking the Joker over Gobert because in the NBA it's all about scoring, and it's all about scoring percentage. But in the East, you got two Philadelphia people there with Embiid and Simmons, which, yeah, I could maybe change out Simmons for somebody else. But the thing I laugh about and the thing I think I watch, and I can't believe how horrible he is the center that's trying to play in Brooklyn that was a Clipper at one time. God, what the hell is that? And boy, every time I watch him, my mouth is open. I can't believe he's that sorry. Holy smoke.
It's just that he can't jump over a penny.
What else you got, Lou? Man, let's keep this going, if you will. So there's a couple things we'll talk about. So I know we're going to talk regarding a Tuesday night to update as far as NBA. We saw your boy Zion putting a little show here for the Pelicans against the Memphis Grizzlies, if you will. I like the commentators. They're basically saying that, it seems like Zion can't shoot, so I'd let the guy shoot. But that's more for Rob to talk about, too. But he's just putting a nice little clinic there, if you will. And I don't know if Rob can talk about that. And then also we got to talk about some interesting options for the candidate for the MVP. And then there's some trade rumors about Andre Drummond, if you will, a couple teams that you keep hearing about, the Toronto Raptors, the Hornets, the Knicks, as well as the Mavericks, believe it or not. And then there's an outside shot with the Heat as far as some options for that, too. And then that's kind of like some rumors that I'm hearing. I don't know if you want to make the case as far as that, too. But interesting as far as Drummond and where he may go, too. So I'll let Rob kind of start with that and we'll kind of go back around. So there you go.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, first starting off with the update on the game tonight. Obviously, right now you got the Suns just pouring it on. I've been peeking back at the TV on this one right now against the Nets, and obviously the Nets don't have Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant tonight, so it's a tough out for them tonight. The Phoenix up by 20 points. You mentioned the Pelicans win against the Grizzlies, and the Pelicans right now lead the NBA in offensive efficiency, but they're last in defensive efficiency. So in order for them to get better, they have to improve on the defensive end. And as good as, I know JQ sent out a text about Zion tonight. Very good game offensively, but he's got to get it. He's part of the problem on a defensive end. Very poor rotations, here in the last few games. But they have to get better on the defensive end if they're going to – I mean, there's too much talent on that team, but they have to figure it out on the defensive end. So we'll see if Jeff Van Gundy can turn that around. Then we look at the Celtics. I saw a good bit of that game tonight, too, against the Nuggets. Tatum and Brown was, you know, really good. And the Joker was really good, as you all mentioned, on the offensive end. But, man, he's such a liability on the defensive end. They kept going at him in the paint, and Boston just killed him in the paint tonight. And Boston beat him by 13 points tonight. And but, you know, he's got to be able to move his feet on the defensive end, and he's not. Boston just kept going to the paint, scoring inside on him tonight. Like I said, I saw a good bit of that game. Toronto is another team that's been Jekyll and Hyde here of late. You know, they lose in Minnesota the other night. They get OG back tonight, which is a big plus for them. You know, solid defender. He's become a pretty solid scorer for them as well. So, big road win for them tonight over Milwaukee. And the Lakers, obviously, getting a road win without AD tonight. And so that was a big win for them to carry on. And the Blazers, Dame Lillard, obviously another big night, had a big road win,
yeah.
Of course, over OKC. And then, of course, the Spurs and the Thunder. The Spurs and the Pistons was postponed tonight. I know, Andre, you mentioned, Andre Drummond? This is going to be really interesting. You know, what team can take on that contract? I know Toronto are trying to figure out a way that they can probably acquire him. I tell you, a team that could really use him is Milwaukee if they're going to complete that Eastern Conference with the Nets and the 76ers, if they can find a way to make it happen. They really need they need another superstar. I mean, they got Drew, they got Chris Middleton, but they need another star on that team. I know the Lakers are even trying to figure out a way to make it happen. I'm not sure how they can maneuver around. Dallas might be a team to watch, too, in this situation, because they might have the cap space to do it. So it's really going to be what team can maneuver from a cap situation, because he really has got a high contract. But you're getting a guy that's averaging close to 18 points and close to 14 rebounds. He's got a strong presence in the middle for whatever team that can acquire him and make a run for this thing, right? So that's going to be real interesting to see down the stretch. And as far as MVP candidates, there are a lot of guys out there to watch right now. And, I mean, you got LeBron, who's the obvious candidate, right? You got to throw Donovan Mitchell's name in that hat for the season he's had and the way his team is performing right now. It's hard for me to put Kawhi or Durant in that conversation yet, or even Embiid, and because of the number of games that they've missed so far this season. So right now, I got to say it's a two-horse race between LeBron and Donovan Mitchell right now for MVP this year.
Yeah, and the thing about it with LeBron is that he's going to get a chance to play himself either farther up into it or drop out, because he's going to have to carry the load now with AD out. They don't really have, you know, somebody else was just a natural progression to step into that. You know, another topic you were talking about, Kuzma wants to be that guy. Well, guess what, buddy? You're going to get the opportunity to be that guy. You're going to have to find out if, you know, sign into that contract extension, is he worth that money, because they're going to really need him to step up and be that guy. I think you know what you're going to get from Schroeder or from KCP. I think they're going to have to find out to get some more from Marc Gasol. He looks like he's playing like he's about 55 years old out there. And that might have been a really big mistake letting both JaVale and Dwight go. Thinking you're going to get a bigger guy that can play defense and spread the floor, because he looks like a non-starter. They might have to fight him out, let him go. Like, seriously. And get somebody else in that roster spot. And you talk about Drummond. If I'm these teams, I would play hardball with them. Andre Drummond on his expiring contract, but it's for like $26 million or something like that. So, I mean, in order to make that trade happen, you got to send out, I think, at least, 80% of the money to bring it back in. So who are you taking out of your rotation to get Andre Drummond? I'd be like, man, you come holler at me when you get this buyout. So I can sell you for you know, a couple mil. But I'm not trading for that unless you just have somebody in the end of your bench or two or three of them that you just don't mind packaging up for him. That's a lot of money. It's not like he's a bet on the veteran.
28.7, by the way, Ricky.
28.7. Yeah. 28.7? Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of having max salaries up to go get Andre Drummond. So I'm not sure about that. Maybe somebody pulls the trigger. But if I was one of those things, I would try to skip these. Because once you don't have the guy playing, right, you almost back yourself into a corner.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't bring him back in and say, nah, we were just bullshitting. Need something to go suit up and go play. Like, what do you do at that point? You're going to have to probably buy him out or something along those lines. So, I don't know, man. I don't know how that's going to work out there. But if I was those teams, I would definitely go.
Jared Allen got the spot. That's crazy.
ahead, just as far as the need for some beef inside, I would say Dallas because, you know, that Porzingis, you know, I mean, if he turns sideways, he sticks out his tongue, he looks like a zipper. I mean, he is so thin. I mean, he's just paper thin. They need some beef in there. I think as far as just helping a team, I think he could really help Dallas. Maybe Dallas is one of those teams that has enough where they could make a deal like that. I didn't realize it was $26 million they're playing with.
It is.
I kind of think he might not be going anywhere with that kind of money. I mean, you're going to have to package up, you know, some real good assets on teams to get him. And for maybe a backup player, you know.
And he's a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You're taking a big risk.
As far as the Lakers and, you know, LeBron is obviously the top guy in the MVP category. That's for sure. He always is every year. He's that guy. Mitchell's phenomenal. Dame's top five. I'm happy with that. He's playing phenomenal in that.
Yes.
But if the Lakers are depending on Kuzma, you know, to be that guy, he's never been that guy. You know, I've watched a lot of Laker games out west. And, you know, and I'm sure you watch a lot of them, probably all of them, like I do. And so many times, Kuzma is so out of position, it's almost like he doesn't know all the plays. That's what I do. You know, get that guy in there. Get some film study. At least know the plays. Because your skill set is you're not going to do it on your own. You're going to have to work within that set that you're working in. So he's not that guy that's going to go get his own buckets. So we better learn the plays first. That'd be the first thing I would do.
He's been better this year. THT is going to have to step up as well. But I just wonder from a philosophy standpoint, they just go small. Because they don't really have anybody big and throwing it that you're going to feel comfortable. Like I talked about, he's glacially slow at this point. So you don't have McGee, you don't have Howard anymore. Yeah. You get reverted and you just kind of go small. You let LeBron play five and go kind of like that Warriors Steph lineup where you go small and just try to run. Like it's going to be interesting to see how they go forward with that because then that'll probably depend on which player you really need to step up to play depending on what kind of lineup they go with. So we'll see.
And who knows how long Anthony Davis is going to be out?
It's got to be at least 3 weeks. You got to have him for the playoffs.
Yeah. And right now, the Lakers just need to hold on until they get to the playoffs, right? And and that's going to be the key. They have to hold on until they can get to the playoffs. Even if that means falling to a 4 or 5 or 6 seed, I think you have to have a healthy Anthony Davis in order to win another championship, right? They're going to need it. So with them, it's about holding on. Just get to the playoffs and get Anthony Davis healthy. You know, right now, the early indication is 2 to 3 weeks, and so your objective is to hold on. I don't think your objective is right now to get to the number one seed. And if you have to concede that to the Clippers or the Jazz, your objective right now is to get to the playoffs and get Anthony Davis healthy.
Yeah, I second that. And that's agreeable. And in the East, who's going to come out of the East? I think a lot of people think Brooklyn can come out of the East. I'm not one of those
Brooklyn
that
Celtics.
Think Brooklyn can come out of the East. Yeah,
they're loaded.
I think, it might be a big surprise this year who comes out of that East. But these guys moving over there has made the East kind of interesting. And it's made us watch the whole of the NBA, which is really good. And I'm going to put Damian in the conversation for MVP. LeBron's always the MVP, but they don't like to give him
the MVP.
Yeah.
Facts.
since 2012, Damian Lillard has hit more game-winning shots than anybody in the league.
Let's talk about the Eastern Conference here. The East is going to be really interesting here, but I think the Sixers might be that team. I think Doc Rivers, and I think the thing that the Sixers have this year that they haven't had in the last couple of years, you have to have some good role players in order to win a championship. And this year, I think they have that. Guys like Shake Milton coming off the bench that can score, you know, having the guys like a Danny Green that can hit the open three-point shot. And now Ben Simmons, you got Tobias Harris, able to be a little bit more of a freelancer and a good scorer. And then you got Joel
Embiid. I'm not crazy about Simmons, though.
I think they could be that team. I like the. I think the Sixers and the Nets is going to be in the East Finals. The Bucks still may end up as a one or two seed, but I think, as usual, they'll lose maybe the first or second round of the playoffs. They're just not built for the playoffs. But I think, you know, early indications are it's going to be the Sixers or the Nets, but I'll lean a little bit more toward the Sixers right now, only because the Nets haven't figured it out on the defensive end yet. And
no,
they figured it out on defensive end, because we know Kyrie Irving is not going to guard anybody. So, I mean, we can forget about that. We know James Harden hadn't met a guy in the league he can guard yet. And Kevin Durant might be the only guy on the team who plays defense. And so that's going to be your concerns with the Nets.
That's a good call. That's a good call. Yeah. Hey, gentlemen, we're doing a good time here. We're excited to bring Naj on. Naj has just joined the conversation. And Naj, haven't talked to you in a while, man. So got a lot of things to get caught up on. We're definitely talking to the NBA. We're going to jump to the NFL. But just want to get your thoughts, if you will, about the Super Bowl. Anything you want to talk about that? And then we're going to talk about J.J. Watts and get some fantasy shout-outs here before we get wrapped the show up. But what's up, Naj?
Yeah, man, I take off the blazer, loosen up the tie, step inside the booth. Those who know. I'll leave it there. What's going on?
That's what's up,
man. Y'all boys good, man.
Yes, sir.
What's going on? I mean, any thoughts about Super Bowl, anything like that? I know we were you didn't get a chance to talk and catch up about that, but, you know, now's your chance, man. Talk about Tom and Brady, and all that messed up stuff. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't talk about stuff like that. But yeah, man, I don't know, man. It just the Super Bowl kind of hit me the wrong way anyway. The calls in the first half were so bad that it took away the competitive nature of the game. Ultimately, I think the result would have been the same. I think Tampa would have won no matter what, even if they didn't get those calls. But that just made it non-competitive and a situation where it just, I don't know. They ruined the game with the officiating. Uh-huh. But as far as the game as it was, if you have two tackles or guards off the street, guess what? You can't pass that, and you're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who you are. I don't care what quarterback there is. If you have offensive linemen off the street, you're done. And this was a unique situation because with COVID, all of us thought, hey, you got to get an extra quarterback. You got to keep him sequestered away from everybody else. What we didn't think about was the trenches. What could happen if you had a rash of injuries in the midst of the playoffs? So with Cleveland losing their O-line and signing the best of the best off the street, you lose your O-line after them. Now you got to pull the best of the best off the street. Like, you're stuck. So salute to Tampa for pulling off the Super Bowl great team win. That D-line was phenomenal. They did what you're supposed to do to backups. And Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy are going to have to take some guff for a bad game plan. Tampa just basically said, we're going to sit back in this zone. We don't care what you do. And Tampa and KC was trying to run all that gadget stuff, putting Tyreek in motion, putting him in the backfield, all kinds of stuff, and Tampa just didn't react to any of it. They stayed in their zone, they stayed disciplined, and they handled business. So that's all I could really say for the Super Bowl, man. We got a winner declared, but it was a really bad game because of the officiating, not because of the players.
And that's a good call, Naj. And when you think about, you know, we talked about this on the show last week. Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy had did a horrible job in that game.
Yeah.
They didn't make any adjustments. And as you mentioned, they were beat up on the offensive line. They didn't have running backs. They didn't bring in tight ends in the chip or anything to help Mahomes. It was a really horrible game plan. And, and the lack of adjustments was really surprising from a tenured head coach like Andy Reid, who's been successful. And especially coming off bye weeks, everybody, he's the best coach coming off a bye week. But they made absolutely no adjustments. And Patrick Mahomes ran for almost 500 yards trying to throw the football in that game. Officiating, I was more shocked at the lack of adjustments that Reed and Bieniemy did to help Mahomes in that game.
Terrible. There it is. All right, gentlemen. Let's go back around the horn. We're going to start with West Coast first here. We'll start with Curtis and Gary and then come back around. And let's talk about the dumpster fire that is the Houston Texans. And they just keep, wanting to get rid of some stuff. So, obviously J.J. Watt getting released. And obviously, you know that there's some salary cap issues. But, maybe it was a situation where they wanted to say, hey, go ahead and find a spot for you. There's been some rumors about where he wants to go as far as landing in Green Bay. I've heard some rumors about should he play with his brother, in Pittsburgh. That much to JQ's hate. Browns, believe it or not, are another shot. And then the Titans as well. So we'll kind of go back around, get your thoughts as far as an interesting free agent that's out there right now. What a great, obviously in his last leg, but still a really productive player too. So go ahead, West Coast, your thoughts about that.
Yeah,
I think
J.J. Watt, I think he's going to make the best decision for him. And he's going to have to restructure him some money, and I'm sure that's what's going to happen. An older player with some injury history. But I only see him going to two places, Green Bay or Kansas City. Think that that's the only two places I see him going, and good on him, and I wish him the best of luck. But that Houston situation, I'm hearing some nightmarish things down there. I'm hearing that somebody running the team is a pastor. I'm trying to figure out what kind of religion and what kind of pastor could be a football guy. That blows my mind. It sounds like they got some, the ownership there sounds awful shaky. And I'm not hearing anything good with the front office and the people running the show down there. But I can say that for Jacksonville, Cleveland, and Detroit. Like, I keep damning them for these teams not being able to ever get their employees in a Super Bowl. And it starts at the top. It starts with guys that need to know what football is about. And in Houston, it does not look like they got anybody there that knows what football is all about in a heavy football state.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where he's going to go. I'm afraid he's going to join his brothers in Pittsburgh. I don't want him to because I think that would definitely help Pittsburgh. And I hate the Steelers. But he would definitely help the Packers. You know, the Packers could use a player like that. You know, you get a few sacks, you give Aaron Rodgers a few more possessions. You know, that spells trouble for teams usually. You know, so those are the two teams I'm thinking that he would go to. That's my thought on that.
Except for the Browns, man, paired up with Myles Garrett too. That's a scary combination too.
That would be.
Yeah, it looks like the. Like the Browns are the favorite based on a lot of reports right now. It looks like the Browns are the favorite. There was some talk about him going back to Wisconsin and playing in Green Bay. And I know the Titans are giving him a look, but Based on the latest reports, they're saying the Browns are the favorite. And now let's be real. J.J. Watt is not the player he was 4 or 5 years ago. He still help the team and be a solid player? Yes, but is he the dominant defender he was 4 or 5 years ago? No, he's not. He's a big name player that you're going to get excited about. Superstars rarely become available like this, right? And he's not that superstar defender that he was 4 or 5 years ago. Can he go in there and possibly help a team like Cleveland and Green Bay? Yes. Is he going to get him over the hump? No. But having him and what's the kid, the other deep, other pass rusher for Cleveland from Texas A&M? Yeah, Miles Garrett. So, I mean, having those two, I mean, you got some solid ends there that maybe could free up Miles Garrett a little bit more and makes him even more dangerous. So, it'll be interesting to see if he's going to go to Cleveland.
Well, I look at it like that from his point. Of course, I don't want to go to Cleveland or Pittsburgh because I'm just a selfish bastard, and I don't want to have to deal with that 4 times a year. But if I'm being honest with him, and you look at it in terms of, okay, you're absolutely right, Rob. What team can I help get over the hump? What's my best pathway to getting back to a Super Bowl? I'm not staying in the AFC. You're talking about Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. Like, you got to go through those guys. I don't think Baker's on their level. Now you look at the NFC. Granted, you got Tom Brady, but Tom Brady's 43, Gritty 44. Drew Brees is probably getting ready to retire. Russell Wilson is throwing all the Seahawks offensive linemen under the bus. Like, if you talk about the level of the quarterbacks in one conference versus the other one, which one can I get through? And I have Aaron Rodgers on my side. If I'm JJ, I'm looking real hard at the Packers. I don't know how much what your cap space looks like. If you're pairing Smith brothers, I'd much rather have my chances with Rodgers going through the NFC than having to face those three guys in the AFC at this stage in their career. It's just me, but we'll see.
Yeah. Great point again. Wow, another notch for you. Phenomenal.
Lou, what you got?
I think I have to agree with that. I do think the Packers might be the best fit for Watt. I mean, you know, staying in the NFC, don't even think of going to AFC. And, some might have thought maybe going to some other teams, but I think maybe the Packers, might be the best fit. I mean, because, we don't know how much time Rodgers has left in it and whatnot. So I think this might be the perfect time for the move to make.
There it is. Nosh.
Yeah, I mean, you guys hit it on the head. I mean, it's a nice free agent addition to a D-line rotation, but, as he put it, this is not him in his prime. Like, he's a Hall of Fame player, but this is the back end of his career. So, I could see him as a good rotation guy. But the disgusting part about it is the Houston Texans, with their failed son owner, who inherited everything and is turning it into trash, you come out and you release J.J. to go wherever he wants, but you're holding this hard stance with Watson. It just kind of shows you not only the hypocrisy, but the ridiculousness of it. Because it's like, okay, no matter what, if you're business first and you trade Watt, you get whatever you can for Watt. And let's be honest, you can at least get maybe a first-day pick, maybe second-day, but you can get something, some compensation for Watt. So the idea that you're just going to let him go wherever he wants to go and control his own destiny, and yet on the other end, as you're raggedly running this franchise, you telling people, well, you want Watson? I'm going to need 3 first-round picks, a second rounder, and 2 defensive starts. And they're like, man, nobody is worth that. What the hell? So you're trying not to trade them, huh? Is that what you're doing? Like, nobody's worth that. Like, that's crazy. So, yeah, man.
There it is.
That failed son owner out there, man. He deserves all the smoke.
Dumpster fire. Dumpster fire.
Nepotism, bro. It's a mofo.
Yeah. We got about 10 minutes left before we do this. We're going to let Rob hit on his NFL mock draft that he posted on the sports page. I'm going to start off really quickly, Rob. We appreciate you as always giving us some fodder to talk about. Again, Rob has put a good draft together. We've kind of switched a couple of things there. You've got us now, the Falcons, picking Patrick Surtain.
I'm going Jamar Chase up against JQ's wishes, if you will. I know that makes you guys get Penei Sewell. And if Najee Harris is around in that second pick, in that second round, we're going to get him, by the way. That's just probably what's going to happen for the Falcons. But that's just me. But I'll let you talk about that, Rob, if you will. So go ahead, man.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, no changes at 1 and 2, right? Trevor Lawrence, Jacksonville, Zach Wilson to the Jets. Or the Jets, it looks like all indications are they're going to try to make a move with Sam Darnold. And, nice. You know, as of right now, the draft really starts at the Miami Dolphins at 3. Do they go Devonta Smith? Do they go Patrick Surtain? Do they go Jamar Chase? Do they go Penei Sewell? So, I mean, they have some options right there. In this particular mock, they get Tua's guy, right? They get Devonta Smith. You know, I kind of think along the lines with JQ here, if you're the Miami Dolphins, I think you want to protect the quarterback. I think the skill positions will come. But, you know, these quarterbacks in a lot of cases are going to get what they want. And Tua's asking for Devonta Smith. And Joe Burrow is asking for Jamar Chase. So, you know, we'll see what happens in those regards. But, you know, if you're the general manager here, you got to make a smart decision. But in this mock, I got Miami taking Devonta Smith. I have Atlanta taking Patrick Surtain, much needed help on that defense. And Andre makes a good point here. You're a goal wide receiver here. What do the Falcons do with Julio Jones? Arthur Blank said he's coming back. So, I mean, I think that's a big part of it. If Julio is coming back, do you draft another wide receiver? Personally,
yeah.
You know, I think the Falcons are trying to give up on Julio Jones. And I'm not a Falcon fan, but, you know, just looking at it from a general manager standpoint, you know, the guy's injury prone. You got to get another guy there. So we got Cincinnati with Jamar Chase, Philadelphia with Penei Sewell, Michael Parsons, very athletic linebacker, can move all over the field. Got him going to Detroit at 7. Justin Fields fall all the way to 8 in Carolina here. It looks like Carolina wants to do whatever they can to secure quarterback in this draft, but they do not believe Bridgewater is their future. And watch Carolina even possible move up in this draft, too, to make sure they either get Fields or Zach Wilson here in this draft. But, you know, right now I got him falling to 8. Kyle Pitts, a lot of general managers think he might be the best weapon in this draft. Got him going 9 in Denver. Had the Cowgirls taking Trey Lance, quarterback from North Dakota State. The Giants, Jalen Waddle from Alabama. Another guy's a sleeper here, edge rusher from Georgia, Azeez Ojulari. Got him going 12 to San Francisco. Gregory Russo, edge rusher who sat out this past season, got him going to the Chargers. At 13,
sort of as a wide receiver.
Jalen Phillips, another edge rusher from Miami. You have him going to Minnesota. Another sleeper offensive lineman in the draft is Rashawn Slater. You got a chance to move up in the 10. Very versatile lineman, can play tackle, can play guard. I have him going 15 in New England here. Elijah Vera Tucker, offensive tackle from USC. Have him getting some protection there in Arizona at the offensive tackle position. Caleb Farley, cornerback Miami, cornerback from Virginia Tech to Miami at 18. Mac Jones, the other quarterback here, going to Washington.
Ooh,
at 19.
Mac Jones.
They need some much needed help at the quarterback position. And you know, Kadarius Toney, another deep threat here. You know, what does Cleveland do with Odell Beckham here? So I got Cleveland taking Kadarius Toney, deep threat speedster from Florida. Rashard Bateman, big wide receiver from Minnesota to Baltimore. I got the Saints taking another offensive lineman here, Alex Leatherwood, who can also play tackle and guard. As the Saints have to figure out what they're going to do with Andrew Peat here in that contract this offseason. And another big name, Travis Etienne, running back, going here at the end of the first round as well.
And I've got my podcast ready as well, 2.0. Yeah.
Don't forget mine.
The number one spot has not changed. JQ is still in the number one spot. Naj is on the line. Naj has slipped into the 2 spot. I mean, right neck and neck with JQ. Andre has slipped down a notch, and Curtis has moved up to the 3 spot. because of the smart guy from earlier.
Rankings from 1990.
The number four spot is myself.
All that.
And to not even get on my draft board, or maybe even make a team as a undrafted free agent, is the Pelicans' own Rob Ford.
Well, hey, first of all, you can't even count, man. How are you number four? There's six of us on the show here.
I gave five. I'm going to remove him
from his own committee.
Guess where you're at, Rob. You're at the bottom. Okay, Naj. Next week, Naj.
Number one. He said Naj number two. He said Curtis three. Andre, did he say himself?
Four. Me five. You out.
No, but go back.
The knucklehead from Jersey. He's out.
Can't even count. There's six people on the show.
Oh my god.
Oh man. But you know, they say you're not
because
doing anything right
to,
if you don't have any haters.
You have to be, you have to be able to hear the question.
That's
love
hilarious.
Is gonna love
gonna hate.
To make the laugh.
Sorry.
Haters gonna hate.
Oh my God!
Yeah, Andre, we have to have a committee meeting. We might have to, we're the founding fathers of the show. We might have to kick somebody off.
Uh-oh.
Well, it's been a good run. I guess I'll go over with the herd.
I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Go join the herd.
Oh,
go join your
goodness.
Pacific Northwest buddy. Hey, haters going to hate. If you don't have any haters, you're not doing something right.
this is like when Apple fires Steve Jobs. What the hell you mean you're going to walk me out the building I built?
Just to give you an update. Just to give you an update, Rob and I have a bet. Rob and I have a bet on the Portland Trail Blazers and the New Orleans Pelicans. Who's going to have a better record at the end of the season? What's your take on that?
That sounds like a good one, man, because that's a tough one. I can't even decide either way. I don't know if New Orleans is going to finally pick it up and get it together, and I don't know how long Dame is supposed to carry around everybody without CJ. So that's a really good bet, man. I can't even say one way.
That's what I said last week. Thank you. I'm just saying, it's a good
Gary
one.
Gary is not happy.
I'm not happy with that.
I'll be perfectly honest. I don't feel confident in the Pelicans being better than the Blazers right now. I'll be honest. But hey, we'll let the season play it out and see what happens. Like I said, the worst that could happen is I have to take Gary and his wife out for lunch, and then we'll kick him off the show.
It's not a lunch, it's a dinner. And if I'm going to be kicked off the show, he's going to pay the price with that bill.
You see, I'm trying to put that in. He's trying to take it to
the
lunch.
They can take it on
a week
trip.
That was a
lunch.
Hey, we're going to
like
get style, some asparagus in your life. Ladies and gentlemen,
okay,
thank you for tuning in to a fantastic edition of Talk Sports to the 12th Man. We hope you all had a wonderful time joining us on tonight. Hope you had a little fun with us. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't deliver this portion of the show to you live, so click on this link so you can hear the rest of the show the rest of this week. We still got some football. We still got some basketball to cover. And next week, we're going to be back on the same night, Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific time. Our friends in Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, Georgia, stay warm. All over the country except Florida is freezing right now. Make sure y'all warm up. Keep the heaters going. Stay safe. Avoid those icy roads. Good night, people. And happy Mardi Gras.
Man, I can't believe you tried to knock $50 off that meal. You said, oh, we're going to go do lunch from 11 to 3. Oh, man, y'all hilarious.
You mean trip it off of it.
Yeah, you did. Oh, man, we appreciate y'all for listening to the show. Y'all are crazy. You know, download the link tomorrow. We get the overtime portion of the show. I'm sure this is going to continue on for a little bit longer before me and Dre kick everybody off and go to sleep.
There it is. I'm
on that East Coast, too.
Facts, 100%, man. I'm going to let you guys get a topic in. I definitely love the idea of kind of letting you guys pick a topic because, you know, again, we have so many things to dive into. So, Rob has some good topics as far as I know you posted the NBA mock draft. Great topic about which team, what NFC team can dethrone the Bucks next season. And then, obviously, we got Tennessee basketball. You got Gus Malzahn joining, going to Florida, Rob's place. Seeming like that's a good thing, you know, going back to Florida, like if you're going to go like the Lane Kiffin route, going to Florida Atlantic, just kind of get a job and kind of get back in some way, somehow. But Gus Malzahn getting signed with Central, mm-hmm. Where do you go? I think he went to Central Florida, if you will. So you have a kind of a plethora of topics to discuss before we kick everyone out, too. So that's kind of my thing here. Pick your topic, and let's wrap this up, wrap up the show. So start with you, Rob.
All right, I'll start off. You know, I know we did the first round. We went over most of the first round mock. You know, the second round is posted. For those of you all want to go and visit, it is on the Talking Sports with the 12th Man Facebook page if you want to view the second round. And obviously the top 30 prospects for the NBA draft is also posted on our page. Maybe we're getting that to next week. I'm just going to go over the top offensive players in the NFL draft projected right now. I know we covered them all, I mean, most of this in the mock, but at the quarterback position, obviously the best quarterback in the draft is Trevor Lawrence. It's going to be real intriguing to see how he blends with Urban Meyer in his style of coaching. Running back, I have Travis Etienne slightly ahead of Najee Harris at the moment for the running back position. And I'm going to go three wide receivers here. Nobody's playing a fullback anymore. So we're going to go over the three wide receiver set. And we got Devonta Smith, Jamar Chase, and Jalen Waddle as the top three wide receivers in the draft. And I have them all going off the board by pick number 11 here in the first round. Kyle Pitts, I have him going number 9, obviously at the tight end position. Offensive tackles, Penei Sewell, Rashawn Slater. And the offensive guards, moving Alex Leatherwood and Wyatt Davis. Got Wyatt Davis going in the early part of the second round. And then in the middle of the second round, the center position, Landon Dickerson from Alabama, as I have as the best center in the draft. Trey Hill, center from Georgia, is really close, but I have him going in the latter part of the second round right now. And those are your 11 starting positions here in the NFL draft.
Can't argue with that. I can't argue with that at all. I'll keep mine brief. So, do the Chicago Bears just like to torment their fan base? Like, they sit back and say, you know what, we're going to build this badass defense, and we're going to keep an average-ass quarterback every year just to make them think that we're close to being over the top, just to keep them engaged and then pull that loosey and pull the ball back away from them when you go to kick it. Like, what are the Bears doing? Please tell me why Carson Wentz is an upgrade over Trubisky, and you're going to give up draft capital to go get Carson Wentz in that contract? I don't understand that from the Bears. Like, if they didn't have anything, I still would question it. But is that not a lateral move at best when you're going to give up draft picks to go get Carson Wentz when you can just re-sign Trubisky? I don't understand that. I'm looking like Trubisky was just, you know, just jumped on the desk and pissed on the GM's desk in there. Like, I don't understand that. I just don't understand why you do that. Why you do that to your fan base? I don't get it. Nobody's going to get excited in Chicago about, you know what, we think you go Carson Wentz, go back out there and win the whole damn thing. No, you're not. No, you're not. Why? Why, Chicago? Please somebody tell me why.
Follow Nick Foles. Hey, really quickly, not to throw shade, JQ, but it was an interesting little point because they're talking about the last quarterback that did anything for Ohio State. Do you remember who that's done anything in the NFL? Do you know who that is?
You talking about Craig Kimble?
That's a good no.
So what was the question, Andre?
The last quarterback from Ohio State that has done anything
in the
NFL. The last quarterback from Ohio State that's done anything in the NFL.
Nobody.
Mike Tomczak was the name.
Mike
Tomczak.
Yeah, that's wow. Wow.
I thought that's how far back you had to go for the Bears. You know, but that's how far back
right.
it was that a quarterback from Ohio State, not throwing shade, but they're like, everyone's talking about Justin Fields. Like, you know,
their
quarterback has done anything. And they've had a lot of quarterbacks from Kirk Street to, like, you know, as you know, like, Tyler Chiller prior. You've had all these names. And they're like, Mike Tomczak was the last guy that has done anything from Ohio State. And he played for the Bears. That's what I thought. That's kind of how I got that connection, if you will, too. So, yeah.
I got you. I was going to say, dang, you just going to just throw shade at me just unsolicited. But, okay, I got you. I get the connection. Okay. Yeah.
I was like, Mike Tomczak.
Still the same point.
Yeah.
And if you had to go to freaking Mike Tomczak, then come on, Chicago. It's Chicago. It's not like Chicago's a bad city. Chicago's a wonderful city. Like, maybe not right now with the snow, but y'all been in Chicago. Yeah. Chicago's a great town to go to. Like, I don't understand.
Really
why.
Is. City with a lot of culture and flavor. Good food there, too. We love that deep dish pizza.
It's just weird to me that they keep doing that to themselves. I don't get that.
Here we go. Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
What the
hell? Carson Wentz and his $140 million contract. You excited about that? You said nobody.
Gary,
don't make any sense to me. Hey, like you said, you stick with Trubisky, or you wait till you get an opportunity to draft a high draft pick again.
Hey, the scary thing is they had Mitch Trubisky coming to the Falcons because of his connection with the coach as well. So, yeah, it's just like, what? You're hearing all kinds of rumors now, but I don't, you know, you don't know until it actually happens too. But just. I'm trying to add the Chicago connection. He's from the South. I'm like, well, you know, whole other conversation. But, you know, again,
yeah,
something about me. Good call. That's hilarious, JT. He's following Nick Foles, by the way. Go ahead, Gary.
That's a head scratcher because it is just a lateral move at best. And when you're dealing with, you know, injury-prone guy and all this stuff, and, you know, you got a defense that in Chicago that is, you know,
phenomenal.
It can, you know, you put a offense around him. You get an offensive line and a running back, probably even with a knucklehead quarterback like Mitch Trubisky or whatever the hell his name is, might be able to, you know, do something with a good offensive line and just a few pieces. But now you put in Carson Wentz, who gets injured all the time. Now he's going to go get injured, and you're still paying him all that money. Who's their backup quarterback? Is it Cooper Rush? Is Cooper Rush
Oh, my
gosh. I don't know if
he's
going to do
that. Good news. Kirk Cousins is still available, guys.
Okay. Good.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that is a head scratcher. Who knows? Curtis, what do you got on this? I know you're a big Mitch Kavinsky fan.
And there's going to be a whole bunch of quarterbacks that are going to be on new teams. And is Cam Newton going to have a job? Is that knucklehead in Washington going to have a job? Is there's going to be some quarterbacks
By the Steelers, right?
That are not going to have some job.
Yeah,
there's going to be a tough market for quarterbacks this year. And what are the Cowboys going to do with Dak? I guess they're going to be loyal to him, but that might be cost them. It's the quarterback issue this coming season is going to be full of surprises and full of – there's going to be some people that are not going to be in football, and you're going to be surprised who they are.
You think Cam Newton is going to be a backup somewhere? I think it's safe to say he's probably not going to be a starter. Do you think he'll be a backup or not take any position, not take any job?
Well, you know, I'm sure with Cam, it's going to be about money. If they can pay him $20 million to be a backup, They'll be a backup.
No, nobody's going to be a backup.
No one's going to pay him half of that.
Will be a backup.
They only paid him $6.5 to $7 million to be a starter this year.
Yeah,
I tell you what, probably. I think Cam is not in the league until somebody gets hurt, and they either need him to compete for the job or give him the job outright. He might go through all the training camp and not be signed. I really believe that until somebody gets hurt.
True.
That's the ego side of it. You know, that's the side that, hey, I am still able to be a starter, you know, in his head, but he just doesn't have that in his body anymore.
Correct.
Yeah, that's the black
I agree with that.
That's kind of how it works in the NFL. Most front offices in the NFL are incompetent. They don't know what the hell they're doing. They got their job based off nepotism, and they do a terrible job ruining franchises and quarterbacks. So we see the same merry-go-round and carousel every year. And you typically blame the player afterwards, and that's what we're going to see. So we're going to see Carson Wentz go somewhere else, and somebody's going to think he's going to be the savior. When you really look at it, you go back to 2016, and what do we have? We have a quarterback fetish in this country to where we say quarterback means more than everything. So even if the guys aren't good, you push them up the board. So 2016, Carson Wentz and Jared Goff go 1-2, and now, a few years later, they're trying to have reclamation projects for their careers when maybe they just were never good to begin with. But instead of seeing them get $20 million and then all that next year, that's what somebody's going to do, and they're not going to take these veteran quarterbacks who you can get for much cheaper. So the Jameis Winstons, the Mariotas, the Cam Newtons of the world are the guys who are going to go unhired. Not because they're not good, but because most of these franchises are incompetent. That's how it works.
I don't know, but I think Cam Newton's washed up. I watched a lot of Patriots games. He just didn't look like he had it. But I think a part of that is what you're saying is Carolina ran him into the ground, and they used him up for his purposes, and they let him go. And I think he's just beat up.
Yeah. If you fall for the banana in the tailpipe, you fall for the banana in the tailpipe. I can't help you.
I saw him play, bro. I saw him throwing balls 5 yards in front of receiver's feet. I mean, I'm not talking about what a stat line I saw at the end of the day. I'm talking about games that I watched where I watched whole drives of Cam Newton, and it was not pretty.
So you watched the NFL last year, and Cam Newton was the one quarterback that you think is so terrible that he can't start. You watched the rest of that league, and that's the guy who's so terrible.
That's not what I'm saying. I think he's in trouble, and he's going to have to get healthy for one. But I think in Cam's mind, I don't think he's going to be willing to take a step back and say, I'm going to come in and earn this way. When he went to New England, he knew he was going to be sitting out. I mean, everybody knew that. I don't know if there's anywhere he's really going to be able to go right now where he can go in and be unquestioned the guy, and I think that's what he wants. And I used to say that to him physically to say that I would have 100% confidence bringing Cam in to be my guy without bringing in any competition for him. That's what I'm saying. He's going to want to get paid and treated like a top-10 quarterback. That's not who he is anymore.
This is why I can't do anything with this. How do you know any of that? How do you know that he's going to demand crazy money? How do you know that he's going to demand to be the number one? We don't know any of that. It's just a media creation. That's what I mean. So they create the narrative, people follow the narrative, and before you know it, that's who decide the player is.
Well, that fool also came out today and said he spent millions of dollars on his clothes and he had to cut it back. So that further lets me know that dude needs a job with some more millions to recuperate that money from his clothes.
I ain't messing with you.
I also want to say,
I'm serious.
It's gonna shock me if New Orleans is gonna start Jameis Winston next year. I'm curious about what is going on down there.
You know, obviously Jameis Winston is a free agent, so the Saints, you know, if he is going to be the starting quarterback, they got to sign him first. And it sounds as though there's some teams that are also interested in Jameis Winston too. So the Saints are going to have some competition for his services. Obviously, they have the opportunity to sign him before he hits the free agent mark efficiently. So it's going to be interesting. You know, Sean Payton seems to think that, you know, he could be their starting quarterback next season. I'm really actually curious to see I mean, I don't have any high hopes or anything like that, but I'm really curious to see what Sean Payton can do with Jameis Winston. We know he's got the arm talent. Does he have it between the ears? And I think with Winston, what he's got to really learn is, hey, sometimes take the simple play. You know, take the check downs. You don't have to force it in a double and triple coverage down the field all the time. Hey, take the simple play, take the check down, take the easy 5, 6, 8 yard completion sometimes. And every now and again, you're going to be able to take that shot down the field. But sometimes you got to take that simple pass, get that completion, get first down,
take
move the chains. And so, you know, I'm real curious to see what Peyton can do with him, actually, myself. And personally, I'm rooting for Winston being the starting quarterback for the Saints next year. I think he's the best chance for the Saints at a reasonable price. Without us having to give up, we're up against it from a cap standpoint. So it's not like we can make a move for Watson or Russell Wilson or anybody like that and keep a lot of our talent on the team that we have. Because I think personnel-wise, the Saints have a lot of talent. They got offensive line talent. They got defensive line talent. They got some talent on their defensive field. You can use another weapon or two on offense. You got a good 1-2 puncher running back. So, personally, I'm rooting for Jameis Winston to be a starting quarterback. To me, he gives the Saints the best chance without giving up the house and going to get somebody.
Yeah, he got
your
stuff
jersey
to clean up.
Get
but
jersey,
I promise you, he can't be worse than Drew Brees was in that championship game. I tell you that. And look,
I totally agree.
I'll read something for you real quick. This is the NFL's diversity report from this year. 9 of the league's 32 head coaches in 2019 and 2020 were either the son or father of a former or current NFL head coach, coordinator, or position coach. Meanwhile, 63 of the league's coaches were related to either biologically or through marriage, and 53 of those coaches were white.
Wow. That's a
powerful
stat right there.
So, like, until you deal with that, this is just what it is, man.
Yeah, no, that's powerful. I mean, I figured it was a bad number, but I didn't know it was that bad.
Wow.
Well, it sounds like America. Even when I was in high school, to get a job, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And that's what I grew up with when it comes to getting jobs and trying to be successful. It's not what you know. It's who you know.
Gotcha. All right.
What happened to Gary? He logged off? I was just joking about
Yeah, no, I'm still on. I was just going to be silent. And, you know, it's going to be silent because I didn't want to be kicked off this week.
Hey, Gary is hilarious.
I'm about to say he
logged
off. I say I was just joking that we were going to kick him off.
My computer died. I think Rob has done just an absolutely fantastic job tonight. I think he was pretty much spot on everything. He's a great sport. Oh, you guys can't see I have my fingers crossed. Never mind. Go ahead, you guys.
The show would not be the same without the cast of characters. Everyone
as
well.
I tell someone to be my mentor, it's a great thing when you have haters.
I will say one thing. Boy, that was probably the best line of stats and the most eye-opening line of stats that I've heard on this podcast from Naj. Naj, thank you so much for sharing that with us. That's horrible. It's absolutely horrible.
Terrific.
Yep. The NFL is still the good old boy network. As much as we love the league and the game, it's still the good old boy network. It's still a good old boy system. And they still have a long way to go to change that mentality.
And if Andy Reid's son didn't commit a criminal act, he would have had 10-plus years of service by the time Andy retired, got hired on to another staff, and the cycle continues, even though he's a terrible, you know what I'm saying, nepotism hire to begin with. The fact that he's a criminal, the only thing that stopped him.
It's true.
Wow. All right, gentlemen. Well, like I said, hey, Rob, on that note, there's some topics that we can definitely move to next week. Definitely we got topics for NBA mock draft, as well as I'd love to talk about who we can think that can dethrone the Bucks. We got some time to talk about that. So you don't have to rewrite everything. So keep some topics and move them the next week. We need to do fantasy shout-outs. We'll talk about that next week. Again, I think you had 7-2 record, Rob, if I'm not mistaken, too. But we'll talk about that again next week. I know me and JQ are probably ready to turn this bad boy in. But we appreciate you, Gary. Good job with your humor. Curtis, keep fighting, man. We're glad that you're always here. And Anaj, what a great call to jump in. And, again, always provide some awesome color as well, too. Rob, we appreciate you, man, for the mock drafts and putting together the topics and whatnot, too. So, again, we appreciate you, man. Even though you didn't give an Asperica shout out, we appreciate you and that definitely stay warm, man. So there you go.
Well, I had two doses of asparagus today. I had some for lunch. I had lunch with some grilled chicken.
And for dinner I had some amazing pompano with the asparagus. Man,
all right, good night, everyone.
Your girlfriend or wife will thank you.
I'll stop it.
Yes. If you don't know, you don't know. I'll stop there.
Yeah, you don't need. That's only like 2% can smell that, by the sulfur. That's like some crazy number about that. Talk about stats. That only 2% can actually smell that, which is an interesting thing. So just a little interesting note about that too. So, yeah, asparagus, key. Yeah, quantum. Hey guys,
it works, fellas. Use it. It works,
man.
You hit my spot. Asparagus works. Asparagus works.
There it is.
Yeah.
Here we go. Gentlemen, till next week, man. I'm sure we'll be texting this week as always. We got to get down to this as well. Guys, have a great one. We'll talk soon, man.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
All right, John. Be safe.